Hey yo, and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo, and with me is the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast, but more importantly, we have the iconic Chip Zanuff on the line. Last time I called you legendary, you said you liked that. I figure you'd like iconic this time.
Yeah, I got a pretty big ego right now, so when I hear stuff like that, that just feeds my attitude that I've been carrying for years, which is... It's nice to be recognized, and who cares who drives the bus, my friend? Let's get to the picnic.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's actually how you finished the last interview, remember correctly. It was with that quote.
Yeah, well, come on, these interviews, it's wash, rinse, repeat. Okay? I hope I can give you some quality answers to your questions, and it's nice when people throughout the years have continued to follow this road that we've been taking. Enough's enough.
That's right. Well, we've been following for a long time, and hopefully we get to keep chatting with you, for many years to come. But let's talk about the new album.
You gentlemen sound like you're very young.
Nope. but I'm happy we sound that way.
yeah, very youthful. Well, maybe you just you don't party a lot, so because you sound real clean and it's very GP.
There is that. You know, we haven't partied a lot. I'll admit that.
But we'd like to hear about your party.
Yeah, that's it. We live vicariously through you. So. Yeah.
Okay, great. I love it.
It's Brett.
Okay, so let's talk about the new album. This one's an Enough's Enough album as opposed to being another Chip Zanuff solo record. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Question: It is an enough snuff album, and even the solo record I put out there, that could have been an enough snuff album too. I decided in the record company at the time, I was with Cleopatra Records, the great Brian Pereira. He decided that, hey, put this record out. Don't call it Enough Snuff. Just call it Chip Zanuff. You got great players on the record with you. You got the guys from Guns N' Roses and Cheap Trick and Missing Persons. They're all playing with you. Let's just push you, and your next record could be an Enough Snuff album. I said, that sounds fine. Go right ahead. And that was called Strange Time, that album. And I'm real proud of it. It's my first time where I was going to put a solo record out, which were actually songs that were written for Enough Snuff. And it did very well for me. I didn't tour on the record, but it set the tone for the future for me. And it's only fitting right now that here we are a few years later, and we have the first Enough Snuff solo album out, which really shows where we're at as a band today. Just picture, this is the quote I use everywhere, my friends. Picture David Bowie and the Beatles fighting in an alley, and Cheap Trick comes in and breaks it up. That's the new Enough Snuff album, okay?
That's a great way to put it.
It's a great quote. Yeah, absolutely. It's been a while since we've had a new, all new written material Enough's Enough album that's being out. Why has it been so long?
Well, it's not easy in this day and age. We're at a time where there's too much product and not enough demand. It's not easy to get a record deal, and it's certainly not easy to see any fucking money from this business, okay? The new template for all the bands, everyone included, is make a record. If you can find a home, that's great, but you got to get out a tour, and you got to go out in the streets, and you got to bring it out there to everybody and take it to the fans. So we were lucky enough and blessed enough to where Frontiers Records recognized what we had. They loved our legacy. And between the guys that worked there, and they got some pretty big guns there. It's almost like I've been adopted into the Godfather, okay? I'm with Sarfino and Mario and Rick and Nick Keeter. These guys have been working music for 30 years. They know their bands. They have Journey and Sebastian Bach and Night Ranger and White Snake on their labels. Some great, great bands out there, and there's tons I haven't even mentioned, okay? It's a wonderful roster of musicians, so they were for us to be able to be recognized by them and for them to take a chance on us, it's a real gift, and I'm not going to look the gift horse in the mouth. We made a great record, and right while we were making their album, it was coming out, it was terrific, a wonderful sense of balance that the band had on this record, but we bashed it out live in the studio on 2-inch tape, an analog record, not your Pro Tool record where it's all cut up and and trying to make it perfect. There's a lot of blemishes and scars and warts and tattoos and pimples, and we left them all on there for you all to embrace. And right after that, we were called by Live Nations to go out and do a tour. So a new label, a new record, a brand new tour. Life looks pretty good right now.
So obviously you're the band leader, but how much of the creation of the album, the songs, and just the recording, how much of it is kind of a collaborative effort?
Well, they're all my songs. It was up to me to come up with the material, but the band, they certainly helped a lot. You know, Tony Fennell, he's a former lead singer of Ultravox. He's a great record producer. He's a wonderful singer and songwriter. He's got great ideas. And he came in there and he took what I had and he embellished it. And he did a great job, and he wrote some nice killer riffs, I thought, that really picked the record in a different direction. And Corey Stuhlfreg, he comes from a band called New Black Seven, and the guy is a great lead singer and a wonderful songwriter. It just so happens that my name's Chip Sinuff, and I'm the namesake of the band, and I co-wrote all those records and produced those albums. And it was only fitting that I come up with the material, at least a template of them. And then I let my band go and run with it. And we work together as a team. And I think that's why it works so well. I mean, look at the biggest bands that are out there right now. All those groups. You think Axl Rose would have a Guns N' Roses record without having Slash and the other guys? No, they brought a lot to the party. When I write songs, I write the whole song. It's not like a hip-hop band or one of these groups that just goes out there and there's all... Yeah, I'm just a singer, and that's it. And I hear the music, and I come up with words and melody lines and metaphors to make it work. I sit down with acoustic guitar, and I come up with the ideas. I go in the studio, I lay them down, and you know, we write the whole song. We put it all together. And that's the difference between the artists nowadays and artists in the past. The artists in the past, they wrote those songs, they played all the instruments, they did everything. Nowadays, a lot of cats are just doing it where you can just go in the studio and have guys putting together the music for you, outside writers, and then you make your record. And hey, they both work, but for me, I've always loved the creative element in this side of the music business, and all the bands I grew up loving, they wrote their own songs, and that's what we do.
Now, did Strange Time and the fact that you sang on that album give you, I think, the confidence to take over the vocal slot for Enough's Enough?
No. It certainly didn't. What gave me the confidence was after I had Monaco, my guitar player, singing a lot of songs, and after he said he couldn't play anymore, he had a trigger finger, and he needed to take a year off of touring. That's when I decided, well, if I don't get out there right now and take a chance on this, I might have to just go out and put another band together or join another group, which I can easily do, no problem. I decided that I'm going to give it a shot. And I went out and played a bunch of shows. We did M3 Festival, and then we went out with Kiss and did four shows on the Kiss Cruise, which was great because Paul Stanley and Doc McGee came out to the shows and said, Chip, you sound great. You should have been doing this 10 years ago. And that gave me a shot in the arm. And then right when I got off the Kiss Cruise, I was called by Ace Frehley's agent over at North Star, a guy named Kevin, and said, hey, Chip, this is Kevin from North Star. Ace is going out and doing a month of dates. Would you like to support them? And that was a good shot in the arm for us. We were able to go out and tour around the country, reaching an audience that maybe not necessarily would be into Enough Stuff, and we won them all over. And that gave me the confidence. And then when Frontiers approached us and said, can we hear some material? Do you have another record? And I sent them two songs. And 2 days later, they got right back to us, Sarfini, and said, hey, sounds great. All right, make the record. And I went right in the studio and started recording the songs. And those two songs, by the way, that I sent to Frontiers aren't even on this record. I had so many fresh new songs. I was so excited about what the future holds and a brand new chapter in Enough's Enough's life. And I just went out and just started bashing out as many songs as I could until I got to the best 15. I tore them down to the last 15, and then I cut it down to 11 songs. I didn't want to put too much information on there because the attention span of a lot of the audience right there might not be able to hold them for a whole hour and 20 minutes of music. So a 46-minute record, slam dunk, glitter rock at its finest, showing our influences and wearing them proudly on our sleeves. And I think it's a nice, unique sounding record about what's happening in the world today. And it's not as autobiographical as past Enough Snuff albums. I think this record, I was picking off the bones of some of my favorite bands, probably, and unwittingly or wittingly. And a lot of these songs are about, not necessarily myself, but other people and experiences that they've had. And putting a pen to paper was a pretty simple task. And the music came real simple, real bashed out rock record, all of us playing together. And I think that that made for a strong album. And I surrounded myself on this album with not only a great band, but wonderful people. Rob Posen was our co-producer on the record. He does nothing but punk rock and hip hop. So that was nice to have a different sense of balance, turning the knobs. And then I went to Chris Diamonds at the end of it to mix when it came down to mixing the record. And Mr. Chris Diamonds, he's worked with Ozzy Osbourne and Alice Cooper, and he did a lot of the early 80s records. I wanted that 70s, 80s sound on this album, and Tony Fennell, my guitar player, said, let's just go back again. Let's go to the old days and make a rock record where you got to play well and you got to sing well. That's it. No Pro Tools, no going into Melodyne vocals or trying to do stuff in Pro Tools and making it all perfect. Let's not be afraid to show those scars, warts, and tattoos that we carry. And I think that's the beauty of this record.
Is it typically, are you kind of a perfectionist in the studio, and especially when you're taking on a new duty like lead singing, or is that kind of the way you believe, your philosophy to begin with?
Every record I do, it's a different approach. You know, and the most important thing as a producer is to bring out the best performance in an individual and make them feel comfortable. And of course, you want to help with the writing and tweaking stuff. If it's an outside writer comes in, you want to help with the songs and cut the fat off and, you know, give him a good representation of what he's trying to do. And a lot of the stuff I've been working on has been rock records and pop records and heavy metal records. So I try not to touch it too much, to be honest with you. I like to keep that vision the artist has. And on this record, it was no exception doing our own album. I wanted to make sure it was a good studio we're recording at. We can get decent sounds and try to make it as quick as possible. And this record was done in a couple of weeks, actually. Wow. It took about a week to mix it. And then, of course, record companies and bands have had the same dilemma throughout history, which is you make a record, you turn it in, and you got to wait to find an open window where it's a good time to put it out. And this is the first record in 20 years we've done where we finished the album. We actually have a tour to follow to help support it. That's unheard of in this day and age. So that's going to help us out a lot. New record, new label, new tour, and an exciting future that we hold. I don't know what it holds for us, to be honest with you, but I'm pretty, along with the band, we're very excited about what the future does hold for us, because we just don't know, except that we made a great record and we're going to go out and support it, and we're going to go see all the fans out there that have been following us for years.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm impressed by seeing the tour, because it's a good long length, like a good long run for it. When you consider that so many are just 2 or 3 weeks, that it's nice that this one runs through into November, I think, even December.
Yes, it's 42 dates. I'm so excited about this. You know, in the old days, guys, Enough Snuff would get a beautiful Van Hool or a Prevo or an Eagle bus. And it was $1,000 a day, and you go out on your tour, and then you finish up a month tour, and you come home, and everybody's broke because it costs money to be out on those tours and to pay for crew and bus driver and hotel rooms. And this tour is a little bit different. We won't be out on the bus. There won't be a 2 ounces of cocaine and a case of Jack Daniels. It'll just be the band, very focused, and traveling probably in a van, and we'll have a trailer in the back. And it's why would I lie to you and make it sound like it's going to be massive and huge, like a Def Leppard Journey tour or a Poison Cheap Trick or a Guns N' Roses run. It's the band like going back to the old days, and it's going to be very challenging. But we're up for the challenge. We've done it before. We did that whole Ace Frehley tour, which just in the van with all our equipment in the van and our suitcases. And we did 30-something shows, and it kicked ass every single night. People were blown away. And you can't be burning the candle at both ends on there yet. And it's a different day and age. We're older now. I want these shows to be great for the fans. I want to be able to sing the songs every single night. I'm not drinking. I'm not partying. But I'm partying with the fans. I'm just not partaking in my intake. I'm gonna make sure that every single night I can sing these songs and we can go out and have a great time. And the bands and the fans can really have a wonderful experience because we're bringing back Sunset Strip. It's a lot of good bands on this tour. These guys are all going to be bringing it every night. We're all out we all want to headline this tour. So Live Nation's a smart. They put us all together and they said, guys, get out there and play shows and we're going to give you some great venues. And it was Paramount Theaters and Wiltern Theaters and all the House of Blueses, you know, 12 to 2,000 seat venues every single night. I just want it to be jam packed. And it's not $200 a show to get in to see the bands play. It's, you know, it's like a reasonably priced ticket. And you got Eddie Trunk's going to be co-hosting a lot of these events. I predict a slam dunk and one of the best deals of this late summer, early fall tour will be the Live Nation tour.
And obviously that's Mark Torian and the Bullet Boys that you're with and Jack Russell's Great White, and they're with you on there. How is Jack, how's he doing? He's had his substance abuse and health problems. How is he doing right now?
All the bands have had their substance abuse and health problems. That's like a miracle that we're all out there touring. Between those three bands, we've done more cocaine and drinking than Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses put together, okay?
Wow.
These guys, so for us to still be going after all the party in the old days, it's unbelievable. What a gift that we get to go back out there and play. Everybody's got a brand new record out. Bullet Boys from Out of the Skies Records out there right now. It's doing well. Jack Russell's got a brand new record out there. Plus, he'll be playing all his hits. Those guys sold 15, 20 million records themselves. Jack's singing great right now. He's living on the boat, fishing for sharks. And, you know, he'll be out on the tour. He'll probably be in a big, huge bus. And that's okay. We're going to make some money on this tour. We're not going on the bus. We couldn't do that, even though it would be a great time. And it would probably be more trouble for us than any of the other bands because my guys love trim and they love action. So every single night, they're going to. If we had a bus, it would be just a big, long, no-sleep party. We got to get our rest on these shows. We're playing every single day. I want these shows to be great. And, you know, it's only 45 minutes or an hour on stage, you know, focusing on the last records that we put out. We'll be playing all the hits along with songs off the new Diamond Boy record. So I won't even announce those songs, by the way, we're playing live. I'm just going to put them in a set because in the old days, you go see Led Zeppelin when I was a kid and Plant would say, hey, we got a new record coming out. It's called Physical Graffiti. And he'd name one of the songs that this one's called Cashmere, and people would be getting up to go to the bathroom. I don't want anybody. I want people to be waiting for their favorite songs during the set, and I'm just going to throw them in there whenever I feel like it. And I think that everybody would be pleasantly surprised because one thing about this record that we did was we made sure that there wasn't a lot of overdubs and tons of keyboard parts and all the guitar tracks. It's basically a live record recorded in the studio, gentlemen.
And back in the day, what's the longest tour you went on?
I remember in the early days, I was living in Blue Island where I'm at right now, and the tour bus pulled up, and the record company said, "You guys are going to be out for 35 shows," and we said, "Oh, great!" I didn't come home for a year.
Holy shit!
That was probably the longest tour, and we were out with Badlands, which was Jakey Lee and Ray Gillen. From Deep Purple and the late Ray Gillen, or Black Sabbath, I should say, wonderful singer. And we learned a lot from those guys. Those are veterans. And the drummer from Kiss is in that band, too, as well.
Eric Singer, yeah.
So, yeah, and I love Eric. What a great singer-songwriter and a wonderful player. So we learned a lot from those cats. They taught us the ropes on how to be on the road because they weren't burning the candle at both ends. They play shows and then they get up and wash, rinse, repeat. Every single night was the same thing, and they were on fire. And I think I hold that template close to me right there. Watch your intake on the road. Be careful. Be safe. And just make it to the next city and get ready for another show. And These are all great venues, guys. and it's bringing back Sunset Strip. Bullet Boys, they've got quite a few hits too, and they come out. And Mark Torian comes out of the box every night, singing his ass off, and he thinks he should be headlining this tour, and rightly so. He's a strong artist, but Jack Russell, he's on fire still. His band is fantastic, by the way, and they should be headlining this tour because they are a great band. But having all those bands together is going to bring in a nice crowd of people. Like I said, a very reasonably priced ticket. It's going to be one of the best deals this year on touring, I think. If you want to see three national acts, they have had great success and MTV hits and VH1 and those networks that used to play bands, are going to go out there and we're going to give it the best shows we can, guys. And I hope you guys are able to attend these gigs because, we don't know how long these tours can last.
And that's the thing. I hear these go see a band like you guys and you know, you've been around for a while and people wonder like how good are they going to be on stage, and you're usually better than you were back in the day because you guys have learned how to play the room, learned how to play the crowd.
Absolutely, and it's only fitting that we're going out there. You get older and with age brings knowledge, and it also brings discipline. But we don't want this to be a milk and cookies tour. We want everybody to party and have a great time and celebrate life. And that's what it's all about in this tour. And all those bands have successful hit songs. And I think the fans are going to be pleasantly surprised when they see all these bands come out of the box kicking ass. And Eddie Trunk is really helping us a lot, too, with the Sirius stations on his volume show on 106 and on the Hair Nation show on Channel 39. He's playing these bands every single day. That's going to help elevate our perception, I think, as well.
Yeah, for sure. Where is Diamond Boy going to get played? Like, is Eddie playing that one a lot, or at least the early singles?
Yeah, Eddie is playing the early records. He's been playing Where Do You Go and Metal Heart, which are two teaser tracks off the record. The first single is called Diamond Boy, and I'll be on Howard Stern's show on August 10th, and that's when the record comes out. We debut it on the great Howard Stern show on August 10th, and then on the 11th, we're out to Texas with Great White, and the tour starts in early September, and it starts in San Diego at the House of Blues.
I'm so happy to hear you're going to be on Howard's show because I'm a big fan, and we talked to you about that last time when you were on, and just, it was always great to hear you on there, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Those are those teaser tracks, and then you say Diamond Boy is going to be the opening single. One of the things you had mentioned to us on when we were talking about Strange Times was that you believe the future was to have a video for every single song on the album. Is that still something you think is the way to go?
That's what I wanted. I think it's not just for me. There's artists that are doing it now. Beck just came out on the record half a year ago, and he got his video for every single song. I said it years ago, though, and I believe that's the wave of the future, where you can buy the record or you can buy it where you have a video-free song. I think that's the way it's going to go, but right now it's quite expensive to do that. However, we have two videos right now. We have the first single, Diamond Boy, which has a video. It was shot by Dave Stecker, who's done all the Jesse Malin videos from Degeneration. He's worked with Paul McCartney, great director. And he'll be doing the next video as well. And yeah, I want to do a video for every single song on this record.
My favorite track on the record, as we did get a chance to listen to it, is Faith, Hope, and Love, personally. And I love the riff on that one. And also, I'm really curious, though, about Imaginary Man, the last track and the lyrics and the message of that particular song. If you could go into that song a little bit for us, I'd appreciate that.
Yep, absolutely not. I never like to admit who the song is about, what bones I'm picking off of when it comes to writing these songs. As I said earlier, though, some songs are autobiographical, but other ones are about other people. And I'd rather leave it up to the listener, because some of these songs, they can relate to it and go, hey, this is about me. This is something that I can sink my teeth into. And I like to leave the songs vague. And I think a lot of the rock stars I've grown up with in the past have been the same way, and they don't really necessarily want to let the cat out of the bag when they talk about what the songs are about. But that song in particular, boy, those are biting lyrics right there. Mm-hmm. And it's something that a lot of people might experience with somebody else. I'm certainly not writing about myself on that, but I would say one of my better songs recently that I've written. And it says a lot about certain relationships and how certain people move ahead forward. Maybe there's some answers that are provided by listening to the lyrics in these songs about somebody else's life, and I like to leave it like that. Same thing with Diamond Boy. It's an androgynous song. I could be singing about a man or a woman. Could be somebody from the past, or it could be somebody from the future. And I think that's the best way to lead the songs, is very open-minded and open-ended.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a great way to end the album, no question. I found it a really strong track. And so, you know, overall, after you listen to it, like, a lot of great harmonies, a lot of good, just a lot of good melody on the album. So I really appreciated that.
Ah, thank you. It makes me feel good to hear that, because I remember when I was writing Imaginary Man, I was sitting in a Target waiting for my wife, who was spending all my money shopping. and she was in there just long enough for me to come up with the melody line and the lyric for the chorus. And she came out of the store, and I go, "Run another one, honey!" And I sang it to her. She looked at me like that was crazy, okay? But then when I put the music to it and she heard it, she goes, "You know what? This is a great song." So, and she's a songwriter herself, so I had a nice little template to work with. And it's nice to be around people that are creative, because they'll tell you if something sucks or it doesn't. And I knew that what I was writing about really touched, it really struck a nerve and an artery with me. And I think that's why the song came out as well as it did, because it's really heartfelt.
So did your wife take your last name?
No, she didn't.
No, no's enough for her.
No, I said, "Do you want to be enough?" And she said, "Well, we'll talk about that later."
That's terrific. Well, it's, you know, I mean, we've been talking about the album, but
trust me, if this record goes gold or platinum, she'll want the last name for sure. Then.
There you go. Well, I sure hope it goes platinum for you.
Yeah, we hope it does at least that.
I hope it does well for me too, so she can go shop a little bit longer over at Target.
Well, hey, at least she's only spending her money at Target. There could be more expensive places out there.
Oh yeah, well, she likes those other stores like Gucci and Chanel too. So I shouldn't say too much more, because I don't want to curse myself.
Well, like I say, we've been talking the album. We're unfortunately up against the clock here. I'm sure you probably have other interviews scheduled. But it's too bad, because, man, we'd love to talk to you about the Sunset Strip and so much other stuff back in the day. But I think it's time for you to do what you should do here one more time. August 10th, the new album, Diamond Boy. Where to get it? Where do they go to find out about the tour? Plug your shit.
Okay, ENUFF, ZNUFF, enoughsenough.com. You can get the record there. Also at all the other little places that they have records. It's a different day and age. You can't go to there's Rolling Stone still. There's a couple of record stores that are out there, Zed Records and Zem over in Vegas. And there's mom and pop stores as well. And they're in all the stores, but obviously you can get it at all the outlets around the country, whether, you know, we want to go to Spotify or I'm not a real social media guy, but any place you find records, you'll be able to find our stuff. And it's all there. Everybody's getting the record now. We've got some great pre-solds on it. And then last but not least, you can get it at the shows, because every single night, all the bands are allowed to sell their records at the shows nowadays. So that's the new template. Bands go out, they play tours, and at the end of the shows, they sell their CDs and records. And we'll be doing the same thing there. And a quick little little side thing, you mentioned Sunset Strip. Let me tell you, when we came out in the old days, 1989, you couldn't walk down the street in Sunset Strip. It was jam-packed with people. Even if they weren't in the clubs, they were outside the clubs. It was just a huge, big rock and roll party like Haight-Ashbury was in the 70s out in San Francisco. And all the bands were hanging out there. And it was the Rainbow, the Roxy, the Whiskey A Go-Go, and Gazzari's. Everyone hung out there and burned the candle at both ends. It was a big party. And that's what we're going to bring back on this Live Nation, Hair Nation tour, a celebration of life, Sunset Strip, where everybody lets their hairs down, burns the candle, and it's like a big indoor mini Woodstock without the mud for all of us. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the fans there, because they're the ones that drive this choo-choo train.
Oh, man. Well, chips enough. I do hope that everybody goes to that concert. I hope we can see you, Mark. I mean, we love Mark. Say hello to Mark for us. But honestly, it's so awesome. You are so awesome. And the record's great. So I hope that everybody goes out and buys it. You know, all the best, my friend.
I can't thank you guys enough for you calling me up and wanting to talk to me about this new album. I love doing the interviews with everybody, especially the journalists that know what they're talking about. And you guys are very astute. You do a great job together. And I hope to see you on this tour, on the Live Nation, Hair Nation tour. Come up and say hi. Let's hang out. Let's have a cocktail together, gentlemen. And I wish you and your families well. I hope you both live to be 100 years old.
All of us, my friend. All of us. Thanks a lot, Chip.
Thanks, guys. God bless you. I'll see you on tour.